Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. With the Lord's help, we're going to conclude a message I began this week, which I've entitled New Insights into the Prophetic Ministry. And what I'd like to do today, and I might move a little quickly, is we've been speaking about the prophetic generation that God has raised up in this hour. We've looked at parallels and similarities between that which was established under the Old Covenant, and we were using the life of the prophet Samuel as an example, and we see that we have seen that there were parallels between his ministry and this present generation in that there was a divine destiny, a divine order was restored, God's people repented, and when they repented, all of Israel turned aside from the Baal worship and the Ashtoreth, and when they did that and served the Lord wholeheartedly, the enemy was defeated, and it says that the Lord's hand was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And so there's not only a divine order, but we see that the prophetic ministry is distinguished by the power of God and to prepare the way for a significant movement of the Lord. And we understand in these days, as it says in the prophet Amos and in the 15th chapter of Acts, when James stood up, it's a restoration of the tabernacle of David. So what I'd like to do today is to talk about areas of concern or weaknesses that can be a source of problem with the prophetic types, if you will. First of all, there has to be a single-hearted devotion to God. And one of the problems that the enemy can use is that of family and close relationships. Jesus was very clear and used strong language that when he said, unless you love me more than father, mother, son, daughter, you're not worthy of me. And of course, he was making a statement that our relationship with the Lord has to be uppermost. Let's look at an example again in the life of Samuel, the 8th chapter, verse 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, money, took bribes, and perverted judgment. What a shocking thing for such a godly man. For whatever reasons, his sons were not serving God. Perhaps he neglected them by being away from home too much, or he was too busy trying to help others, and he failed to notice the trouble signs. But they didn't follow the Lord. They took bribes. They were materialistic. They perverted judgment. And in fact, in that very same chapter, in the 4th verse, it says, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, verse 5, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. In fact, their behavior, because obviously Samuel was going to be retiring, and he placed his sons in a position as judges, and they said, no, 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 they're not like you. We want a king. And then let's look at Samuel's address to Israel in the 12th chapter, or excuse me, the 12th chapter. Let me just turn over to that. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice, and all that you said unto me, I have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. And there was a significant change of rule, if you will. The government was passing on to the first king, which was Saul. But notice what he said in 2. He says, My sons are with you. My sons are grown up among you. And basically, he was not able to separate his emotions, his love for his sons, from the work of the kingdom. And then, of course, he proceeds to exonerate himself or relieve himself of responsibility, obligation. He was cleared from accusation or blame. He said, I did what you said. I put up a king. My sons are among you. And now I'm old and gray-headed. And before I've walked before you since childhood. And have you seen any unrighteousness in me? And of course, they could not say they did, because he was a righteous man before the Lord. But what do we see here? God is always testing the heart of his prophets, of his people. Is God really your first love? Look at another example. Abraham, he loved God, and yet he had to wait for his promise to be fulfilled of a child out of his own loins, Isaac. And then when the child was born, then as a young child, he was called upon to sacrifice him. And he raised that knife. He would have killed him until an angel stopped him. And he said, and the Lord said, Now I know that you fear God. And he was willing to sacrifice and not withhold his only son. Remember Ezekiel the prophet. He was not allowed to weep or mourn over his wife. The Lord said, I will take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke, yet thou shalt neither mourn nor weep. And so we have to understand that the enemy will sometimes use our close relationships, as certainly as in the case of Samuel, but we have to make a choice as Samuel, and actually he was not able to make that separation, but we have to be as Abraham, we have to be as Ezekiel, we have to be willing to put God first. And then there's another area that we have to understand that can be a stumbling block, is even though we may be mightily used of God, we cannot rely on natural giftings, our intellect, our talents, our intuition, our abilities. In fact, beloved, the more capable you are, the more careful you have to be. Let's look for a moment at the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel. And God actually rebuked him in Chapter 16, verse 1, And the Lord had said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And, of course, we know that he went to do that. And yet as he looked, and he was a prophet of God, verse 6, it says, And it came to pass, when they were come, his sons, that he looked on Eliab, who was the eldest, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And so it's not a matter of discerning traits or physical appearance. Obviously, he was the firstborn, but God said he had not chosen him. And then, beloved, our emotions, our feelings have to be fully submitted to God. Don't let your heart ensnare you. This is especially true of sensitive, gentle natures. That listen to the rebuke that I had just read you, that first verse of chapter 16, God makes it very clearly known that Saul is going to be rejected as king, and yet he mourns for him all night. And the Lord says, How long will you mourn for him, seeing I have rejected him? Look at Saul, his first sin at Gilgal. He doesn't wait for Samuel. He offers the burnt offering, which was what actually was occurring, he took a priestly responsibility upon himself. And because of his disobedience, the kingdom would not continue. However, there was a second sin. God gives him a second chance. In 1 Samuel 15:1, he tells him to utterly destroy the Amalekites for their past actions. And he doesn't. He does a partial obedience. And Saul's rebellion, Samuel says, is as the sin of witchcraft, and his stubbornness was as iniquity and idolatry. Because Saul had rejected the word of the Lord, he was rejected as king. Let me read 1 Samuel 15:25. And he says, "Pardon my sin," this is Saul now speaking to Samuel, "and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord." And in verse 26, Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." And yet Samuel capitulates to Saul's desire to be honored before the people. He shouldn't have done it. But because we see in verse 16:1, he had received God's word. In 15:11, he'd cried unto the Lord all night. We see the role of an intercessor, that perhaps interceding can at times change the mind of God. But in verse 12, when he rose up early to meet Saul, he knew God's mind, yet he continued to mourn. Do you see the point I'm trying to make? We have to have our emotions submitted to the Lord. And what was going on? God wanted him, the prophet Samuel, to focus on the new, to put away the past and focus on the new kingdom, which was going to be the reign of David, who is a man after God's own heart. Well, I've moved through that very quickly, but that would conclude what I wanted to share with you on insights into the prophetic ministry. And as I promised 5 days ago, what we're going to do the next time we're together, I'm going to read a very powerful word that the Lord gave my husband back in 1979 on the end times and on the return of Christ. And we'll do that next time. But in the moments that remain, I'd like to encourage you, if you have prayer needs, won't you take a moment either to send that email or to drop me a note? And when I receive whatever your requests are, I will personally pray for you and send back by mail. I know it will be a blessing to you. The Lord ministers in a powerful and beautiful way through the ministry of correspondence. So I want to thank you so much for joining me today, this week. Thank you for your prayer support. I just so appreciate my UCM partners, my radio family. I thank you for joining me today, and I just want to wish you God's best. So until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.